there, and welcome to your show, Take Two, with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Debbie Giorgiani, along with Jerry Usher, and hopefully you, because you fill the phone lines. You take this show to great heights with your wisdom, with your life experiences, and we need you. So we're going to introduce this very, I think, an important topic, one that we can pretty much all relate to on some level. Maybe we know some people that feel this way. And let's talk about it and see if we walk away a little bit changed. We're going to ask the question, do you believe the church wouldn't embrace you? Talking about the Catholic Church. Do you believe the Catholic Church wouldn't embrace you? Let's talk about that. 833-288-3986. That's the number to call to get on the show to speak to Michael McCall. And we want to hear from you. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Debbie. What's that from anyway? You do that a lot.
I know. It's got to be from some movie. You know that, like, we both, like, love all these movies and, like, we're the king and queen of one-liners from movies.
I don't know.
Somebody needs to tell me. Yeah, you're probably right. It's probably from some movie. Sorry.
Well, when you figure out which one it is, let me know. I want to watch it. Okay. But today we're presenting you with a topic. And yeah, as Debbie said, is there something in your mind or heart? Are you maybe a non-Catholic, or you were a Catholic, you're still a Catholic? Maybe you're in a irregular marital situation, divorced and remarried. Maybe you weren't married in the church. Maybe you struggle with same-sex attraction. Maybe you've had an abortion. Maybe there are so many things, so many directions this can go, Debbie. And so maybe if you feel like, you know, the church wouldn't welcome you, you know, you're not welcome in the church, church wouldn't embrace you, wrap her arms around you. Let's talk about this. Maybe you've had that experience and have resolved that and come into the church. You're going to teach a lot of people when you call 833-288-3986.
Yeah, I think that's really important. Like, if you take an inventory of where you're at, a pulse where you're at right now, do you feel like you're on the periphery, the fringe, on the perimeter? You're on the outside looking in, and you're thinking, I love the Catholic Church. I love the beliefs of the Catholic Church, the tenets of the faith. I believe that I want to be part of it. It's home to me, but I don't feel at home. Something's not right. You know, did you ever have those kind of, that internal dialogue? I did when I was a leader in the Catholic Church in religious education, Jerry, for many years. And then, wouldn't you know it, overnight, I was facing divorce. And all of a sudden, I felt like on the outside looking in. It was really strange. It was a bizarre feeling. And thank God I was very, you know, in ministry in the church. So I had a lot of deacons and religious sisters and priests to talk to, where they kept me grounded, you know, so I didn't feel like, okay, I got to pack my bags, I'm out of here, you know. And so it helped me stay connected to the church. But I know a lot of people right now that are feeling like, I love the faith, but I don't feel close to the faith. Okay. Cause I don't feel like I'm really welcome here. Let's talk about it, please. Let's be honest. Let's be real. Let's see if we can change this today. 833-288-3986. That's the number to call.
Yeah, maybe you've got an addiction of some kind, alcoholism, a drug addiction or something, and maybe you're thinking, you know, this is an obstacle to my being a practicing, faithful, sacrament-receiving Catholic. Well, no, not necessarily. Maybe at some point you abandon a spouse or your kids, and maybe you just turned your back on God. Maybe you said, you know what, I'm no longer a believer, I'm going to be an atheist the rest of my life, and then all of a sudden the grace of God has maybe tapped you on the heart and said, please come home, and you're going, well, you know what, I blew it. I blew my chance with God, and I can't come back. This is something we really have to overcome. Debbie, I too, we had very little religious upbringing when I was a child, but there was enough for me to have at least a sense of God and who he was. But I remember in my 20s, late teens and early 20s, I stopped going to Mass and didn't practice my faith, didn't pray. And then all of a sudden I sensed that little tug on my heart. And I had that sense of unworthiness. When I thought God was, you know, maybe calling me back to a practice of the faith. I did get over it fairly easily, but a lot of people, it takes a long time.
It sure does. And this is an important topic. So we want you to weigh in on this. Maybe share your experience or an experience of your loved ones. You know, we all come from kind of big families and extended families, and we have big circles of friends. You know, we have people that we know that have said to us, I don't feel like the Catholic Church welcomes me. I went down the street to the Presbyterian Church and they embraced me right away. I went to the, you know, Episcopal Church and they accepted me for where I was at. We've heard these stories before, folks, but we got to talk about them. If we don't talk about them, we can't make good changes for everybody to feel welcome in their home, the Catholic Church. 833-288-3986. Please call in and share your, you know, your understanding of this, your take on this. But Jerry, we have some news we've got to share because I'm getting texts right now that people are already trying to figure out how to sign up. And I've got some information. Why don't you share the great news?
About the webinar?
Yeah. So we just got it confirmed last night that Adam's going to be with us.
One thing Debbie and I want to start doing once a month, it's going to be about a 30-minute webinar, and we are going to try to present important guests, important topics. And Adam Bly, he's been on EWTN radio and television, and he is going to join me and Debbie for a 30-minute webinar on July 25th. It's in the evening, 7 p.m. Eastern time. You'll be able to call in and participate. And Debbie, what we're going to do is take about the top 10 or 12 questions that people have about demons and the demonic realm and how they influence us and so forth. And Adam Bly is a religious demonologist. So you want to hear this guy. You really do. So Debbie, how can people participate?
Okay, we're going to rapid fire ask them the top 12 questions that you've asked over the years. So we've compiled them, and this webinar is free. It's call in. You're going to call in, but you got to register, and we're going to have the information up later this week on jerryanddebbie.com. So keep checking, because Shauna's working hard, our webmaster. She's working hard to make sure she has the registration right there. It's free, folks. It's a call in. You just listen, and you're going to hear the top 12 questions answered by religious demonologist Adam Bly, who is incredible. I'll tell you what, Jerry, if I could just have a standing, 30-minute appointment with him every week just to ask him questions. I mean, he is truly, the knowledge and the experience he has is unbelievable.
Yeah, again, that's July 25th, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. More details will be on jerryanddebbie.com soon. Today on Take Two, we are talking about maybe feeling unworthy to enter the Catholic Church or come home to the Catholic Church. And I love what you said, Debbie, about we all have loved ones, family members, friends. Maybe there's someone whom you have helped to overcome those mental, psychological, spiritual obstacles and help to bring somebody back to the Church when maybe they thought, No, I just can't. God wouldn't receive me back. I can't. The Church wouldn't receive me. Look, the Church is for everyone in every age, and we all can belong. We all can belong. That's our conversation today. Please teach us something from your experience at 833-288-3986. We're going to take your calls in just a minute.
Have your name on it. If you feel the promptings of the Spirit, please call in and share the answer to this question. Do you believe the Church wouldn't embrace you, or your own personal experience, or somebody else that you know and love? Let's talk about it at 1-833-288-EWTN. Please put this on your refrigerator, folks. It's so much easier. Then you can just have it and you can just look at your refrigerator and call in 833-288-3986. And Jerry, real quickly, if I may, just to highlight it, it's so appropriate because of the topic that we're talking about today, call to communion. What's stopping you from becoming Catholic? Call to communion. You want to hear Dr. David Anders. And here's what's special about it. It's this afternoon at 2 Eastern time. Please, folks, check it out. You'll get hooked on Dr. David Anders. That guy, I keep telling him they got to donate his brain to science after he's done with his time here on Earth. Don't you think, Jerry?
He and a few others, Colin Donovan and Jimmy Akin and Tim Staples.
Yep.
All right. Well, Debbie has set the stage there for us, reset the topic at 833-288-3986, talking about if you are maybe distant from the Church right now, however far that may be, and you just believe in your heart that the Church would not welcome you back or embrace you in some way, give us a call and let us hear from you with your take on this. So we're going to go to Patty first. Patty is in Texas listening on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Patty. Welcome to Take Two.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, Patty. How are you today?
I'm good.
Excellent.
I have a question. I'm a practicing Catholic for many years, and have done a lot of things with the church, a Eucharistic minister, a lady of charity. And I recently just lost my husband. And I was listening to the radio program one day, and one of the women said that marriage is a sacrament that is here for the living, that when your soul goes to heaven, that there is no marriage anymore. And this just turned me around. I thought, you know, marriage is forever, you know?
Right.
And I talked to my daughter about it, and she says, Mom, that's some of the stuff I don't believe about the Catholic Church. But to me, to be a good Catholic, I want to believe everything. I want everything, you know? And I'm having a hard time with this because, as you know, marriages can be good and they can be bad. And after 50 years, if anybody says that it was all good, that's not true. You have bad and you have good. But I never walked away. I made a promise to my husband and to God that I would love him and, you know, be with him till death do us part. And then I keep thinking about this death do us part. That was the vow. So I should have known this all along, but I cannot wrap my head around it. Why is marriage dissolved?
Well, Patty, let me see if I can bring you some comfort in this, because I struggled with this as well. And I talked to many priests. One of them, one of them being my uncle who has passed. He was a great diocesan priest in New Jersey, and he shared so beautifully an explanation of this. So I'm going to try to do this as well, impart that to you of what I received that might help you. First of all, I want to back up for 1 second. You're a first time caller. Thank you so much for calling into the show. We keep a book, a prayer book for the living and the deceased. If you would feel comfortable enough, could you give us your husband's first name? We're so sorry for your loss, and we would love to enter him into the book and celebrate his life if you're willing to do that. And also, I'm so sorry for your loss, because you know the two shall become one in the sacrament of marriage. And so this understanding of till death do us part, and this, and there's no marriage in heaven thing, you know, makes it sound so extreme. And when you're going through the grief process and you feel so connected with your spouse, you feel so connected with your loved ones, the thought of it ending just to be able to get into heaven doesn't make sense, right? Because heaven's supposed to be everything that you could ever have imagined. So I'm going to try to do this correctly with how the priests have told me this. And that is, there isn't a need for marriage in heaven. You got to be very specific of the terminology. And the Catholic Church is very specific on how they explain the faith, because they don't want people to take it and twist it. Okay. So in marriage, it's a path to heaven, because the two help each other get to heaven. Procreation, you know, the two come together and new life comes into this world. Okay. But Patty, it doesn't mean that you are not going to know your husband. Okay. It doesn't mean that you're going to get up there and say, oh, who are you? You know, nice to meet you. That's not going to happen. Okay. Because you understand who has been with you on the journey here on earth. We're never disconnected. Okay. We are always connected. So there isn't a need anymore for marriage here on earth. However, the fruits of that and the understanding of that is for forever, because when you look at heaven, Patty, we're all going to be, God willing, in the beatific vision. So we are going to be beholding the face of God. There isn't going to be a need for us to depend on another human being to get us to heaven, because we're seeing the face of God. Okay, so it's really a beautiful thing when you think about it. So you and your husband will probably be standing together, beholding the face of God. Does that bring you any just a little bit of, you know, just a little bit of just peace inside and just comfort?
A little. But, you know, to me, when I take communion and practice my faith, I have to believe fully not partially. It's, you know, so I really have to make myself understand this, you know, and at this time in my life, of course, I'm in the grieving process. Mm-hmm. And when somebody says, well, there is no marriage in heaven, I'm like, whoa, you know, this isn't happening.
Right,
so
right.
I understand with my mind, mm-hmm. but it's my heart that has a hard time with that. But it will come, and your explanation is good, you know, that we don't need that because we helped each other get there, mm-hmm. you know, work many years to get to heaven. That's our whole goal in life, is to do good for others and walk in Jesus' life. And that's what we've tried to do.
Amen.
And I'm trying to do that now with an understanding of my faith that, you know, so that I can be a good Catholic, because I can't come to that communion without understanding at all. It's not, to me, it's not fair. It's not fair.
Patty, if I can offer a couple thoughts here. First of all, you are exhibiting an amazing understanding of marriage from, you know, the standpoint of the love that you have for your husband that you still retain for him, and no doubt that he had for you for all of those years. So thank you for that. If you're abstaining from communion right now, from the Eucharist, maybe talk to your priest or your spiritual director about that. There's certainly no obligation for you to abstain from that right now. I don't know if maybe I'm reading into what you're saying, but if you're open to a couple of Bible passages that would possibly help with this, Patty, I'm on Catholic.com website, and the question, if I am a widow who remarried, what will happen to me in heaven? Well, you have not remarried, but Trent Horn gives this answer, and he quotes St. Paul from Romans chapter 7, verse 2. A married woman is bound by law to her husband as long as he lives, but if her husband dies, she is discharged from the law concerning her husband. And then he also quotes Mark 12:25 when it talks about Jesus teaching whether or not they'll be married in heaven. Remember, Jesus was asked that question, and he says, when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. And I think Debbie said it beautifully. The two main purposes of marriage, we understand, Patty, are unitive and procreative. Unitive, that the man and woman come together in an inviolable, inseparable metaphysical bond until death takes one of them, but also the other one, procreative, and obviously in heaven that won't continue, that won't be necessary. So I don't know, do those scripture passages bring you even a little bit more consolation, Patty?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, and Patty, Debbie, one thing, Patty can be assured of the prayers of maybe tens of thousands of people listening right now.
Oh, absolutely. And Patty, if you feel comfortable, we're happy to put your husband's first name in the book. If not, it's up to you.
Oh, no, you can. His name is John.
John, okay. Beautiful. You know, one other thing, may I share, my uncle, who's now in, you know, hopefully reaping his great eternal rewards in heaven, was a great priest. And people used to ask him questions all the time about marriage in heaven, about pets in heaven, all these things. And my uncle used to say the same thing. You know, if God wants you to be happy, okay? If that's going to make you happy, you know, he used to say, you're going to get everything plus more. And so he would say that to everybody. And people would walk away with smiles on their faces. And I would say to him all the time, why do you say that? He says, because think about how God's looking at this. If people are so troubled about this, God wants you to be at peace and be happy. So I just wanted to leave you with that as well, Patty, that God is, you know, so close to you right now, especially in this grieving process. And again, we're so sorry for the loss of your husband, John, but our Take Two family, we pray and we celebrate life. So, Patty, thank you again for calling in.
God bless you, Patty. Our prayers are with you, and we are talking today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie about do you believe, for some reason or another, the church would not welcome you, would not embrace you? You can't participate in the sacramental life of the church. 833-288-3986. And up next is Rose in San Antonio, Texas, and she's got us on Guadalupe Radio. Hi, Rose. Good to have you join us.
Hi, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
My question is, and I guess I'll start with a little background first. I'm divorced, and I stepped away from my Catholic faith because I felt I wasn't worthy because of my divorce. And I went to a non-denominational church, and it fulfilled a small need at that time. But I missed my Catholic faith, so I came back. But I feel like I'm committing a sin by receiving the host on Sunday in communion because I'm divorced. And I have an issue with that, and I'm not sure. I mean, because I've gotten answers, of course you can receive it, and of course you can't. So I guess I want to know, should I abstain from it, or can I continue to receive it?
Rose, it is my understanding. First of all, talk to a priest about this. It's my understanding if you've not attempted marriage again, then you are very, very welcome to receive Holy Communion. A divorced person may receive...
Or
if you're not remarried again, having attempted marriage or involved in a relationship. So I would say have peace of mind and heart about that. But if you want to just maybe unburden yourself completely by talking to a priest about this whole, you know, the whole journey you've taken, you know, it's a beautiful thing the way God has led you. You didn't disconnect yourself all the way from God like a lot of people do, feeling the guilt and the burden of something like a divorce, which, I mean, let's face it, it happens, and the church has means of addressing that, but you didn't step all the way away. You went to the non-denominational church, and now, thanks be to God, Debbie, God has led her back to a reception of the Catholic Eucharist, and she is certainly free to do that.
Right, and you want to do it in the right way, Rose, and that's a beautiful thing, and so you're drawn back home to the Catholic Church. I agree with Jerry. Please make an appointment at your local parish or find another parish. Speak to a deacon, a priest, and sit down with them. Just say that you just need 5 or 10 minutes and explain the situation and tell them you want to be a Catholic in good standing and how to go about doing that, given that you are divorced. I would definitely do that. And believe me, there's no, you don't have to feel embarrassed or ashamed or anything. Believe me, they get it, unfortunately now in this day and age, they get those questions a lot. So they're able to help all of us. I did that, Rose. That's the first thing I did because I was so worried about receiving communion improperly and you know, committing any type of mortal sin. And I didn't want to do that. So I sat down with the priest right away. Please, if you could do that, or even make a phone call and ask to speak to a deacon or a priest. I think, like Jerry said, it will unburden you, make you feel free again. And also visit CatholicsComeHome.org. There's all sorts of frequently asked questions from divorced folks and people that have left the church and want to come back. CatholicsComeHome.org. Rose. Okay, does that help?
Okay. Yes, thank you very much. I appreciate your answers.
You're welcome. Anytime, yeah. And thanks for being a first-time caller.
Yeah, and Rose, anybody else, Rose and anyone else, if you've got concerns or questions about this, there is a wonderful article on how civil divorce does not bar one from communion on the EWTN.com website. And after the show, I'm going to make sure that gets posted at take2show.com, take2show.com. So more calls just a moment away here. We're getting some emails come in, too. I just want to read a couple of these here. One is from Jeffrey, Debbie. Jeffrey says, hi, Jerry and Debbie. I'm a Catholic and live my faith, but I struggle with feeling welcomed in several parishes for one reason, the sign of peace. He says, more times than I can remember, I've extended a hand at this moment of Mass only to be rejected and just ignored or just looked at. And that is in, he's from Jacksonville, Florida area. Jeffrey.
Can I just answer that? I mean,
sure.
Jeffrey, please don't take that personally. You know, a lot of folks are nervous about the flu. There's a lot of germophobes. I used to hear that all the time. People are nervous about extending a hand, and it's not that they're trying to be rude or inconsiderate. Sometimes they just want to, you know, because they know they're going to receive maybe in the hand in a few minutes, and so they, you know, it's a weird situation for people, especially if they're germ conscious. Would you agree with that, Jerry? I mean, a lot of people don't like getting the flu shot, so they're nervous when they go into Mass to shake hands.
Yeah, I have a wonderful lady I know her pretty well from daily Mass, and she does a little fist bump, you know. She doesn't want to, you know, touch hands or stuff like that, so she'll do a little fist bump like that.
Right.
But yeah, I think don't take it personally, Jeffrey. And you know what? Consider what you're trying to do. You want to give peace to others, so that's the important thing, is that's where your heart is. This is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio.
I wonder if God is allowing everybody in heaven, hopefully in heaven, that they're listening to this conversation right now and they're kind of collaborating, because I just find this so interesting. Remember I shared how my uncle who passed away, my uncle was actually a mentor and great friend of Father Benedict Groeschel. And then one of our listeners, Gigi from New Jersey, just shared to kind of give some more comfort to Patty, our first caller in Texas, and saying that Father Benedict Groeschel's he was at the deathbed of his father, and said that his own father, his father opened his eyes and said his wife's name. So Father Benedict Groeschel's mother's name. And it put a smile on his face. Wow. And then he died. And so I just find it interesting. I wonder if my uncle and Father Benedict Groeschel, well, I'm sure they were friends here on earth. They're probably up there collaborating and helping us with this broadcast. You never know.
Well, yeah. And I don't know if this has been discussed by theologians. It's probably just speculation on my part. But if you've been married to somebody for 50 years, your love for them in heaven is not only going to be still strong, it's going to be perfected, and you're going to be, I'm just going to offer this as my opinion, but I'd have to think, Debbie, that spouses are going to be extra close to one another in heaven because of the great job that they did of getting each other there and begetting mm-hmm. children and helping them to get there as well. So yep. I think there's great hope. If anyone's lost a spouse, be hopeful and excited.
Yeah. It's, you know, God is good.
Just make sure you get to heaven to join them.
Right. That's the goal. Let's state that right up front. The goal is get to heaven, everybody. Okay. Mary is up next in North Carolina. Mary, welcome to your show, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call. This is such an important subject to me that I have not been able to deal with or find an answer for it. Single, and when I go to Mass, it is the loneliest place on the planet for me. No one sits with you. You see all these families come in. No one comes around. No one talks to you. And I know I'm not there for that, and I know that, but I can't get that to my heart. You know, I have it in my head, but I can't get it to my heart. But I don't go because I know it's so lonely. So I just watch it on TV, and I don't feel like I'm getting fed, really. And I've tried different churches that are nearby. But you just sit there, and it's almost like there's something, like people look at you like there's something wrong with you. Hmm. And you're just sitting there and you're trying to pray. I don't know how to explain it, but it, to me, and I've talked to other single women and I've asked them, I said, do you go to church on Sunday, whether they be Baptist or whatever? They're like, are you kidding? Go to the loneliest place on the planet? No way. They said, no, I don't. No one sits with you. No one will talk to you. When they have the little breakfast afterwards in, like, the cafeteria next door or whatever, I've gone to one of those, and I've tried to communicate or sit with people, and no one engages me. And and I keep telling myself I'm not there for that reason. You know, I'm not here for that. I'm not here for that. But it doesn't work. And
well,
I'm
Mary,
seeking to find out from you two, what, how do I get my head around that?
Right, right. I think Debbie has some very important things to share with you. I'll just simply say, well, we did a show on how welcoming is your parish or your church community. That was a week ago yesterday. So if you have internet access, you can go to the take2show.com and listen on the July 8th broadcast. And during that broadcast, we just talked about some of the dynamics that take place in Catholic parishes and how sometimes, like you're saying, unwelcoming it can feel or actually be. Debbie knows some of the most vibrant parishes are those that maybe as you're coming into the church, they welcome you, they greet you with a smile, they shake your hand. At one parish where I live, the Knights of Columbus are there. And so there's always that welcome. Once we get inside the church, Mary, I'm sure you understand that that's a sacred space. The Blessed Sacrament is in the tabernacle. So most people, God willing, are actually being silent, not only silent and not paying attention to others, but actually paying attention to the Lord in the tabernacle and praying and getting ready for Mass. So just a couple things there to keep in mind, but you're never alone because Jesus is there in the Eucharist. Maybe find a pew over close to where they have the Eucharist. Mary, your name Mary, so the Blessed Virgin Mary is with you and all of the angels and saints. But Debbie, you can probably do a lot more than the good than I've done here. So take a shot at it.
No, you were great. You were fabulous. Mary, I worked in the parishes for 25 years. I just want to share a couple things that have worked for single folks. First of all, I apologize on behalf of all the parishes that don't have really active, vibrant single ministries. Unfortunately, it's probably due to budget issues and stuff like that. It's very unfortunate because I've heard that many, many times. So you're not alone. Couple things you can do to have you feel fulfilled in the house of worship, in the home, your home, the Catholic Church. Couple things. Sit close to the altar. Sit as close to the altar as possible. Don't sit in the back of the church. Sit very close so that you can fix your eyes on the tabernacle. You can meditate upon the crucifix. You can be participating in Mass in a very focused way. So that's the first thing. And I know that this works because my sister is single and her name is Mary Ann, close to yours. And so she sits about three rows right at the front, and it's worked beautifully for her. The other thing too, Mary, if you're up for it, call the parish and share your experience that you've been having, and please let them know that you want to fully come into the church and not watch it on TV. You want to be there physically, and maybe offer your services, anything you can volunteer to do in ministry. And I'll tell you why. When single folks get involved in ministry, whether being a lector, an usher, or greeter, all of a sudden, Mary, you start having just an abundance of parish friends. It just happens. That's what ministry does. So I would ask you, if you're up for the challenge, Mary, try these few simple techniques. I think you're going to have a whole new experience. It's pretty amazing. I've seen it work for many, many folks, but you know what? You're not alone. And I'm sorry this has happened to you because you're right. It's a very lonely feeling, and it's not a good feeling to feel that in the place that you want to feel most comforted. What do you think?
I can do that because it is that, because you're in this whole pew by yourself and people just keep walking by you mm-hmm. and go sit somewhere else. And you're trying not to take this personally, but it's so hard not to. You're feeling like, is it because, had I have a husband and two kids, would that invite somebody else?
Right.
It's almost like there's a stigma attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a single woman, there's a stigma attached to it. But mm-hmm. I like the idea of sitting closer to the altar because I do. I think that will resolve this issue for me. I've been trying to find the answer. I'm glad this came up.
Mm-hmm.
And then getting involved in some volunteer activities before and after Mass would also help too. Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Would you keep us posted, Mary? Because we love to praise God, and we'll be praying for you. That you may email us. Well, yeah, you may email us in a week and say, I don't know what you guys are praying for, but I have so many friends now, I don't know what to do. Okay, but it's okay. We want to praise God like that. So take two at EWTN.com if you would email us and give us an update. Jerry?
Yeah, just a final thought, Mary. I was thinking, as Debbie mentioned and you concurred, that maybe getting involved in something at the parish, you said before or after Mass, your concern, what burdens you is maybe not feeling as welcome or invited in. Maybe you could ask if they have a greeter's ministry and you become that person that greets people when they come in. And maybe
That's right.
Just change the whole mm-hmm. landscape of your parish as people who might share the same feeling that you have are going to start going, wow, Mary
Amen.
And these other greeters are just really welcoming me into the parish. So thanks, Mary, for your call. Appreciate that a lot. There is an email from Kevin, our friend Kevin.
Can you read it? Yeah,
I
have, I'm getting texts like crazy. Everybody's wanting to find out real quickly how to sign up for the webinar. Folks, we're going to have it posted in a couple days. It's at jerryanddebbie.com and it's free. So just keep checking back every day. Okay. Sorry,
okay.
Jerry.
We have a number of emails. This one from Kevin. Good morning, Jerry and Debbie. I just wanted to weigh in on today's topic. I want to say that we should not make the mistake of looking at the church as some disconnected institution, as it states in 1 Corinthians 12, for even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body. So if someone feels like the, quote, church doesn't welcome them, then shame on us. And I agree with that. The church should be the closest thing to heaven on earth. He says the church on earth should be a welcoming place for anyone and everyone. everyone. No judging. Just come on in right where you are. God bless, Kevin.
Well said. Well said. You have to remember, though, you know, when people go to church, it's not because they think they're better than everybody else. We're all sinners trying to, you know, get close to God and get to heaven. So we're all going there for a reason, and we got to support one another. You know, with that, I think the parish dynamics are very interesting. People could probably do scientific studies on it. Okay, Lupe, right, Jay?
Yeah.
Lupe in Spring Hill, Virginia, listening on Guadalupe Radio Network. Lupe, you're a first time caller. You get the virtual bell just for you. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. And it's Springfield. Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for correcting that. Okay. Welcome.
I just wanted to share with you that my experience when I first came to this country, I'm from Mexico, and when I first came to this country 40 years ago, a lady came into the elevator, and I smiled at her, she smiled back at me, and she said to me, "You must not be Catholic." I said, "Why would you say that?" And she said, "Because Catholics don't smile." Well, from that day on, I made it my promise to myself, I will smile everywhere I go. And that's, to me, that has really shown me over the years how much in a smile can change people's just the day, you know, because they don't expect it. And if you smile at them, they smile back at you and they feel acknowledged. And so every time, especially at church, especially in the Catholic Church, I made my, like, a commitment to God. I will smile at everybody. And so I just wanted to invite everybody, you know, who goes to the church, no matter what type of church, but especially the Catholic Church, mm-hmm. that we should be prepared to smile at anybody and welcome anybody, whether we know them or not. Because in my mind, I am, as a Catholic, an ambassador of God. And what does an ambassador does, you know, mm-hmm. if not try to do a connection with the people that you love the most?
Absolutely.
And so I want to share that with you guys.
Okay, so Jerry, can I just respond to that real quickly? Okay, so Lupe, I just got done speaking a few weeks ago in Houston for an Angels and Demons conference, and I was talking to everybody about their guardian angels. And by the way, you know, just to go back to Mary too, if you're listening, you have your guardian angel sitting right next to you all the time. So you're never alone. We're never alone. And Lupe, I said this at the end of the conference. I said, folks, if you just found out you won the lottery, a $10 million lottery, wouldn't you go out to the world smiling, beaming from ear to ear, going, "I'm on top of the world." Right, Lupe? Yeah.
Yes.
And so I told I told everybody in the audience, I said, please go out these doors believing that you won the spiritual lottery. Go out there, because if you go out there with, you know, a downward smile on your face or just even a troubled look, that's not going to bring people in. That's not going to make people drawn into Christ and the beliefs of being a true Christian. So I want to say, Lupe, your smiling is a ministry. It's an evangelization opportunity and a ministry. God bless you for taking it on and being and representing the church in such a beautiful, bright way, because we need more of you. I wish I could bottle you up and send you all around the world, Lupe, because I just think it's so needed in this world. What do you think, Jer?
I can't add to what you said. I love the way you put that about winning the money lottery, and how that, you know, is something most of us aren't ever going to do. But everybody can hit the spiritual jackpot in terms of the Eucharist and receiving that and attending church services. So I just love the way you put that, Debbie. And Lupe, I love the fact that you are listening on Guadalupe Radio and your name is Lupe. So that wasn't lost on us either. Anything else, Lupe, you'd like to share?
No, that's all. I just want to invite everybody to start smiling at each other, and they will realize, you know, what a big change that brings to life.
Amen.
Yes, indeed. Amen.
Yes, I love it.
Beautifully put. Once again, by Take Two with Jerry and Debbie Listener. 833-288-3986. Talking today, if there's something in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, in your spirit that maybe is trying to convince you that you can't be a Catholic, the church wouldn't welcome you, wouldn't embrace you, because of whatever, whatever it is, could be any number of things. 833-288-3986. And before we take our next call, Debbie, do you mind if I read an email?
That would be great.
Another
Thank
email?
You. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This one, I love this email, we're going to be praying. Our good friend John, the former Uber driver, John says, good afternoon. For the longest time, and I still have this feeling, that the church wouldn't embrace me for who I was. I, as you know, struggle with same-sex attraction. It's a small part of who I am, but like Debbie mentioned, I don't feel at home, at least not yet fully. It's one of the main reasons why I searched so long for a faith that would. I still attend services, but deep down I don't feel welcome. I know it may sound silly, but from when I first felt this way in the early 90s, I didn't feel welcome. I remember going to confession when I was much younger and the priest showing very little sympathy. I want to be Catholic. It's where I feel at home. I love the liturgy, the tradition, but there's just one thing. If I could find a loving, accepting parish where I truly felt welcome and not judged, then I'd more than likely feel better. It really hurts. And at times, I admittedly, there are times when I cry myself to sleep because of it. And that's from John. And there's a whole lot in there, Debbie, that we can comment on. Go ahead.
It just breaks my heart. We are supposed to be, like Lupe said, you know, smile at one another, embrace one another. You don't have to agree with everybody's position or agree with everybody's stance. But just to be Christ to one another. How do we walk with one another if we're not going to embrace each other at the soul to soul level? I mean, we have to start getting to that point, Jerry, because look at this world, what it's doing right now. They're targeting people by labels, by everything, how they identify themselves, what they do, what they say. And what do we have? We have a divided world even. So I say we got to get back to just being heart and soul with people and walking with one another where they're at.
Yeah. And John, I would just add that, you know, you're talking about finding a church or a parish, you know, that would make you feel more welcome because of your same-sex attraction. I would just offer this. You're not going to find any institution on the face of the earth that is more welcoming and understanding of the struggle that you're dealing with than the Catholic Church.
True.
The church has it's an officially recognized ministry called Courage. I suspect you probably heard of it by now. Just a couple things I wanted to comment on in your email. First, I'll start with the priest showing you very little sympathy. We're not privy to that confession, obviously, and what you were confessing and what the priest said to you, but that sounds like that was some time back, and it's very possible that, I would just say there's been a development in the church's, pastoral understanding of this and many other issues in recent decades. And of course, it has become more prevalent too. And so I think maybe it was just the case that priest, you know, didn't really know how to counsel you or something. You know, maybe he felt uncomfortable. So, we weren't there and obviously we can't really comment beyond that. But John, you said in your second sentence, it's a small part of who I am. Okay. And that's, I just wanted to let you know. You should identify as John, the male, the Catholic, the whatever you do for a living, former Uber driver.
Child of God.
Yeah, child of God. You know, you see, this is where I think people get into more of the militant same-sex attraction against the church and so forth. And I know, John, you're not doing that. But what they do is they want to begin their list of how they identify with same-sex attraction, gay, homosexual, LGBT, whatever they want to do. That's their jumping off point. And if that's your starting point, then everything else in your life is going to be dictated and directed by that self-identification. You know, so John, I know you don't do that, but I would encourage you to do this, John. Identify first and foremost as a child loved by God, as a Catholic, as a man. You can contribute to your parish and be a vibrant member of the Catholic Church, and maybe not only knock the SSA identification way down the list, but maybe just say, you know what? That's not who I am. I'm not going to identify. That's not going to drive me anymore. You'll never be able to get rid of it probably because it's part of your psychology and so forth. But as far as the self-identification, Debbie, that's all I'm saying is just don't let that be the driving force in how you live your life and how you perceive you're being treated by others in the church, because the church loves you, John, and we do.
I just want to say real quickly, Rich, Jesse, our producer is probably listening. Rich, please clip what Jerry just said. We need to have that, because what you said, Jerry, was so beautifully expressed and honest and real, and it is so needed today in our church and for the faithful. So thank you for saying it, Rich. If you could mark it, because pretty amazing, Jerry. That just, I could feel the Holy Spirit as you were speaking.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wow.
Why don't you do some talking then?
I'm a mess. I always cry during these shows. I don't know what's the matter with me. I need help. Okay. Wow, that was powerful. Okay, up next is Kim, and Kim is in Washington State, first-time caller, listening on the EWTN app. Kim, welcome.
Thank you. I don't really feel accepted into the church. I haven't been to church for a long time. The reason being is that I've had some mental illness in my life, probably my whole life. My first self-medicating was when I was 12 years old on aspirin. But I've had that problem. I got clean from opiates, but I live in Washington State, so marijuana is legal, so I do that. And I'm working with my psychiatrist, but I just don't feel like I can go to church and receive communion. And if I don't go to confession every Saturday, and I just, it's just really hard. And then also I have social phobia, and it's hard for me to go to church sometimes because of that. And I just feel like I'm not worthy of going to church. Or right. Even trying, it's hard. I mean, it's been extremely hard.
Okay, so
and then last year and a half, I lost my mom, my dad, my brothers, my sister, my best friend, my dog. I mean, it's just very hard.
Okay. So, Kim, first of all, we are so sorry. You are suffering greatly. We can hear that. And we're sorry for all of your losses in your life, of all the loved ones that have passed on. But they're not disconnected from you. So you need to know that. Kim, the other thing, you heard me say it early on during the show, your guardian angel is right next to you. When you can't pray, your guardian angel is praying for you. Your guardian angel is there for you, rooting you all the way, is your soul bodyguard, if you will. Okay? And that has been given to you by God. Your guardian angel will never walk away from you, Kim, because it's a gift from God. So please take comfort in knowing that you have somebody supporting you, that is helping you get closer to God. Kim, we're not therapists, we're not trained counselors, but I just want to say something. There's help out there. There's resources out there for you. Okay. There are Christian counselors that are phenomenal that can help you work through some of these issues that you can, the grieving process you're going through, the anxiety, maybe some of the addictive behaviors, you can get help there. I also would encourage you, please don't feel embarrassed or ashamed to do this. Please don't. Call your local parish. If you don't get a response from your local parish, call another parish in the area. You have plenty in Washington State. Okay? And say, I'd like to make an appointment with a deacon or a priest. I need 10 minutes. I need 10 minutes. Be very specific. If they say, what is it about? I need to talk through some issues to find out, how I can feel worthy in the church, how I want to feel embraced. I need the sacraments. I don't want to have this vicious cycle happening to me. Kim, if you would do those few small things, I think it would help you, unburden you, free you from a lot of this so that you can move forward. It sounds like you're a little bit stuck, if I may say that. And I want you to move forward because that's what God wants, Kim. He wants you to have life and to have it to the full.
When I lost my dad, I mean, I went to church. I was kind of his caretaker, and I went to church every Saturday. And after that, I just got into such an emotional...
Right. Okay.
Kim, let me offer a thought. Debbie put it well. You have suffered so very much, and it can be of little consolation, but sometimes, Jesus will allow that in our lives to be extra close to us, and that's because we understand, Jesus' passion on the cross. And I get that sometimes isn't any consolation, because I've said it before, I don't suffer very well either. But I just want to encourage you, Kim, that some of these things that you're struggling with right now, so many other people are as well. And the church, honestly, do what Debbie said. Call the parish, the local parish. Talk to the priest, a deacon. Maybe there's a religious sister there, somebody that you can talk to, and just pour this all out for them. And I promise you, I guarantee you in the Holy Spirit, you're going to receive from them comfort, consolation, reassurance of your Catholic identity and your practice of the faith. It could be a lot more gentle than you might think, Kim. So please try and make a point of that, okay? What do you think, Kim?
Yeah, and I mean, I actually through my whole life, I mean, I do embrace this suffering because it's made me so close to Jesus. Even though I might not go to church, he has, I mean, literally saved my life in the back. I mean, I know he's with me, and I mean, I feel very close to him and my Blessed Mother so much.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget,
be here for them.
And don't forget, Kim, you know, you said you were the caregiver for your dad. You know, the good Lord sees that. The good Lord sees your heart and all the good that you have done for your family members. You know, so Jerry and I just really want you to feel embraced by the church and help you be able to go back into the church doors knowing that this is your home. So we want that for you, Kim. Olivia, JJ, Gerald, Luann, there's more coming in. Jerry, can we do a part two? I think we need to do a part two. I just feel like we left this. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we got jam-packed phone lines, so you ask and you get, Debbie. Part two of this topic tomorrow.
Sounds great. So we'll continue this. If you're still on the line and you want to call back tomorrow, just let Michael know you're on the line. He'll put you to the front of the line. And we want to wish you a beautiful and blessed day. See you real soon.